Shavuot Tov, and thank you so much, each of you, for joining us tonight to hear from wonderful, esteemed scholar that we've been having the opportunity to get to know over the course of Shabbos, Rabbi Dr. Yaakov Magen, who's here with us all the way from Othniel in Israel. For those of you who don't already know, Rabbi Dr. Yaakov Magen is the senior rabbi at the Othniel Yeshiva in Israel, where he teaches Talmud, Jewish thought, and Kabbalah. He is also the director of the Or Torah Stone Beit Midrash for Judaism and Humanity. He is originally from New York, the Upper West Side, and received his smicha from Yeshiva University and his PhD in Jewish philosophy from Hebrew University. Over the course of Shabbat, some of the major themes that I've come to learn from Rabbi Magen involve joy, love, and leading a balanced life. And as I get to know Rabbi Magen more and more, I see these are qualities that he not only teaches about, but really truly embodies. And that's very inspiring. I've also gotten to see him, you know, meet so many different people in our shul and in other shuls in town that he seems to have a history with, right, from different places and times in life. And it's inspiring to me to see how you've derived inspiration from so many different people in different contexts in your life, and how they have been so inspired by you even all these years later. I just wanted to mention that last night at our Oneg Shabbat, Rabbi Magen taught that he actually focused on a distinction between doing and being. That some of us start our day thinking about what we need to do, as opposed to thinking about how I want to experience this day, how I want to allow myself to feel affected by the events of this day. And I'd like to refer to that just as a springboard for introducing the main topic that Rabbi Magen is going to speak about tonight, which is his new book, The Soul of the Mishnah, which is an English translation of Nishmat HaMishnah, where Rabbi Magen focuses on the inherent beauty and spiritual qualities of the Mishnah. And whereas often the Mishnah is looked at and studied as a means of more deeply understanding conversations in the Gemara, or for us to more deeply understand and appreciate the evolution of halakha, Rabbi Magen also experiences the being of the Mishnah, not only as it serves as a vehicle to understand halakha and Gemara, but he experiences the true being of the Mishnah as it's having its own innate beauty and spiritual value. So we're really looking forward to hearing more about that, and we're so honored to have you with us tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Aviva, for the warm welcome. It's a pleasure to say your family here, friends from every part of my life, and maybe future people that I'll be connected to. Hayom Chaf Zayin Tishrei Tav Shin Pei Bet Ze Hayom Asa Adonai Nagila V'Nismecha Bo. We're often known as the people of the book, and for centuries, the book meant the Tanakh. And it took many more centuries till Rav Yehuda HaNasi did something very dramatic for the story of Torah in Am Yisrael and compiled the Mishnah. The Mishnah is known as the iron pillar of the Torah Shebaal Peh. But through the ages, some of that, this masterpiece, has been lost. Been overshadowed in many ways by the Talmud, the Gemara. And the Mishnah, as Aviva mentions, become often a means to an end. I would like to help reclaim the Mishnah as the masterpiece it is, and finding how, with the short and cryptic language, how it can become very meaningful. And in general, I feel in the last generation, it's been a wonderful development of Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Much of those concerned to Tanakh have been translated, been brought over. I know in the summers, so many people before COVID would come to the Shirim at Herzog during the summer to expand their horizons on Tanakh. But somehow the Torah Shebaal Peh has been more challenging to find ways to convey the new perspectives in making that too as a source of meaning and significance. I'd like to begin with a story connected to the first Mishnah that we will study together. And unfortunately, like many stories, it starts in a from a sad place. In 2008, Israel began Ofrot Yitzuka, the first response to the missile attacks from Gaza. Now, the first Israeli soldier who fell in combat was a Talmud at Yeshiva Avat Israel in Netivot, who's called Dvir Amanuelov. I never met him, but it was a very moving story because although his father had passed away a year before that, he insisted to, and there's an exemption for combat, he insisted, he became an officer in Golani, and fell in the course of duty. But after the war, his mother contacted me and said, there's something you have to know. That after Dvir's father passed away, the Hebrew version of my book, Nishmat Mishnah, came out, and Dvir decided, in memory of his father, to start a chavruta every Shabbat with his mother. And Dalia said, no matter how tired he was, he'd come back from the army, he'd come back for Shabbat, they would always find the time to learn, to study together. And then she says, do you know what the last Mishnah that we studied together was? And without her telling me, there's 70 chapters in the book, I deal with close to 200 Mishnayot, but somehow I knew what she was going to tell me. That the last Mishnah that we studied together is the Mishnah that we will begin our study, and you will understand why that was so significant. Okay, so in what we've handed out, we have the Mishnah in Kiddushin. The Mishnah in Kiddushin tells... the Mishnah in Kiddushin tells about two categories of mitzvot within the family. One category are the mitzvot of the av to the ben, the mitzvot that the parent is obligated towards his child, to his son. And then the mitzvot haben ala av, the mitzvot that the children are obligated towards their parents. In the printed Mishnah, it begins first, mitzvot haben ala av, and then afterwards, mitzvot ha'av ala ben. But in all the manuscripts, and we'll see why this is important, it's first mitzvot ha'av ala ben, and then mitzvot ha'ben ala av. Now when I study this, I kept feeling deja vu. That there's something going on here. There's something that this Mishnah reminds me of something. It took a while till I hit on it. And I realized that it's dialoguing with the closing verse of Sifrei Nevi'im. The closing verse of Sifrei Nevi'im tells us of the mission of Eliyahu Navi, which is Veheshiv Lev Avot Al Banim VeLev Banim Al Avotam. And I saw how similar the Mishnah is to the Pasuk. They both talk about relationships of father to son and then son to father. They both even use the preposition al to describe their relationship. In fact, the primary difference is the Navi talks about lev, the heart, linking the heart between the avot ubanim, whereas the Mishnah talks about mitzvot. Now, I imagine that most of us would get more enthusiastic talking about a heart connection between the generations than something more formal, the mitzvot defining it. But there's a lovely essay by Rav Kook entitled Chacham Adif Min Avi, explaining why the scholar, the Chacham, is more significant than the prophet. Rav Kook writes, the prophets are great visionaries. They're very poetic. But as inspiring they could be, ultimately, they failed. The Nevi'im, in the times of Bayit Rishon, did not succeed in stopping the Khorban. did not succeed in stopping the behavior that they railed against. And maybe nowadays, you know that in the UN, they have all these lovely verses from Yeshayo, but there is no connection between those verses on the walls and what happens inside. So inspiration itself, it's not enough. And Rav Kook writes, but the Chacham, who in Bayit Sheni, a focus became the development of the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Chacham, which gets to the nitty-gritty of life, defining all the details, it could be a lot grayer than talking about the heart, but what really is that nitty-gritty that really gets people to change. So the vision is the heart of Eliyahu Navi linking the heart of the parents and the children, but the path, the way, is not leading it as some general platitudes, but defining what is the role of the parent. We have the mitzvot of the Av to the Ben, with Brit Milah, continuing with Pidyon HaBen, the study of Torah, the afterward finding a wife, getting a profession, and then the obligation, defining what it is for children to respect and honor their parents. So we want the heart, but the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Mishnah, is taking that verse and using mitzvot to give us the path to get to the heart. Now, of course, by now, certainly, we could understand why this was so significant, that this was the last Mishnah that Dvir learned with his mother before falling in combat, because a limud, which was in memory of his father, with the connection between him and his mother, this was the siman, this was the parting study together. And if there's time at the end, maybe I'll tell another story about Dvir and his mother. Now, this point about the Mishnah dialoguing with the Pasuk, I find to be a fundamental principle throughout the Mishnah. It is very rare that the Mishnah quotes a Pasuk. But the impact of Tanakh on the Mishnah is much greater than the explicit quotes, because the frame of reference for the Mishnah, where the imagery, the quotes, the ideas are coming from, to say the obvious, before the Mishnah, there is the Tanakh. So in many, many instances throughout the Mishnah, to ask the question, is there something behind the scenes, behind this Mishnah, often you will find a verse and a story. And sometimes I know there's a danger to find some minor connection, which might just be a overactive imagination. Therefore, I find it important, as we'll see in this case, it's not just one point of contact. The dialogue between the message of the mission of Eliyahu HaNavi and the mission of and the Mishnah, it's much broader and much deeper than this first point. But I can't help adding, as an aside on this topic, since I was privileged to learn with my uncle, Rabbi Menachem Ganek, who is here at Yoredea. And in the course of the classes, we would always hear different Divrei Torah about the Jewish life cycle. And I recall mentioning, why is it that Eliyahu HaNavi appears at every Brit Milah? He appears at the night of the Seder. This is because this is the role of V'heshiv levavot al banim v'lev banim al avotam. But going back to the Mishnah, we have, if we would continue, in Mishnah Yud. Mishnah Yud, maybe read the second half of it. It says that, kol sheyeshnu b'mikra b'mishnah v'derech eretz. If somebody, he has Torah, Mikra Mishnah, Torah Shel Bakhtav and Torah Shel Peh, Uve Derech Eretz, he has a profession, Lo Bimhera Uchotet, Shinamar V'chut HaMishulash Lo Bimher Yitnatek. V'chol She'eino Lo Bimikra V'lo Mishnah V'Derech Eretz, but if somebody, he doesn't have Torah, and he doesn't have Derech Eretz, which in the Mishnah means a profession, Eino Min Yishuv, he's cut off, he's not part of the Yishuv. Now, What was pointed out by Rav Avi Wolfish, a pioneer in Mishnah study, is that in fact, these categories of not being in Torah and in Derech Eretz are part of the mitzvot of the Av to the Ben. The primary, Brit Milah, Pidyon Ben, that goes fast. But preparing somebody for life, the intensity is Torah and Derech Eretz. So what the Mishnah is saying, if you don't fulfill the mitzvot Ha'av al Ben, the child, the person who grows up, Einam in Yeshuv, you won't really be worthy to be part of the community. Now, if I go back to that prophecy in Malachi, here too we see the backdrop of the Pasuk to the Mishnah. The closing verse, let's read it together, Malachi Perek Gimel, the closing verse of Sifrei Nevi'im, V'heshiv lev avot abanim leban avotam, penavo v'keiti et ha'aretz cherem. If this is not done, if there isn't this connection between parents and children, God will come and strike the land, and the land will be cherem, the land will be barren. This is exactly what's happening in the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins with the mitzvot ha'av al ben, the mitzvot ha'ben al ha'av. And then the Mishnah tells us, but if this doesn't happen, the result of this not happening will be that the eretz will be cherem, which is exactly, if you're not b'mikra Mishnah v'derech eretz, eino min ha'yishuv. So we see that this is very deliberate. It's not just an overworked imagination thinking avot u'banim. There's something broader and deeper taking place here, this dialogue between the Mishnah and the Mikra. And this, in fact, can help solve a mystery about this chapter of Malachi. Till now, I've been using Malachi to explain the Mishnah. But now I'd like to use the Mishnah to explain Malachi. If we would look at the... Most of us, if we would ask, when it says "Veheshiv lev avot al banim v'lev banu avotam," I imagine, hope, most of us will assume that this verse is talking about the relationship between parents and children. However, in medieval commentaries, no one explained it this way. Some, as Tanchuma Yushalmi explained it, that Avot al Banim is Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which could have worked, but considering that there's one Avilim Shemayim and not Avot, to say the least, it's a problematic perush. Rashi, Radak, others will explain the Heshiv Lev Avot al Banim as Al as Im, that the fathers and the sons will be Chozer B'Tshuva together. But that's nice. We're all for everybody to be Chozer B'Tshuva. But it doesn't seem to touch the simple meaning of the Pasuk. And this beautiful concept of link of the generations is lost. But Rashi even notes that Chazal understood the Pasuk Kipshuto. Rashi writes that we know from the Mishnah in Ediot that says that the role of Eliyahu Navi is bringing shalom into the world. Rashi writes that clearly they understood it as talking about the relationships between parents and children. But the question is, why? Why do the medieval commentaries not explain the Pasuk the way that they know that Chazal understood it? And the answer is because this chapter begins with a statement of Am Yisrael asking, B'manashuv, how can we get back to you? So the question is, how to get back to God? The answer is going to be something about B'chozer B'tshuva. But I think from our Mishnah we can understand there's a much more complex answer to the question. If the question is, how do we get back to the Torah God, don't start, maybe the right thing is not starting right away with Tshuva. The Pasuk says, Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi. Remember the Torah of Moshe. Asher tzevit yoto b'chorev al ko Yisrael chukim u'mishpatim. Remember the Torah of Moshe. That's wonderful, but that was given at Sinai a long, long time ago. How are we going to remember it? Why are we going to care about it? The answer to that is Eliyahu Navi's mission. V'heshiv levavot al banim v'lev banu avotam. If we link the generations together to one another, if the hearts of the parents and children are connected, that gives us the hope and that we will be able to keep this line of connection to the beginning. If you don't have the connection between the generations, you're going to lose it. You're not going to have the children getting back to Choriv. So true, the question is about getting back to God, but the path is first getting back to one another. The parents and the children reuniting. And I was once in the Marble Arch Synagogue in London. And there was a bar mitzvah, and Rabbi Yonatan Sacks, Zichrono Lebracha, gave a drasha. And he said that in the ancient world, there were two nations that sought immortality. The Egyptians and the Jews. The Egyptians built magnificent monuments withstand the winds of time. If only the English could speak like that. It's right, so, but the Jewish people, and in fact the Egyptians succeeded. Everybody's heard about the pyramids. But Am Yisrael also sought their path for eternity. And this was, they left Mitzrayim, and the first thing Moshe tells them, V'igadat alavincha. What you have seen today, tell it over to your children. The Netzach Yehudi is connecting between the generations. And to illustrate this, I have a family story. We're once visiting, my parents live on the west side of Manhattan, and Michal took my kids to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, which was probably a major mistake, because art and kids doesn't always go together. But finally, they got to the Egyptian wing, and finally they thought, we finally found the playground to this place. And after one of my kids started climbing up on this ancient sphinx, Michal got this wonderful escort out of the museum. And the big guard escorted them. Before they leave, he turns to her and says, "Is that Hebrew your kids are speaking?" And the guard was blown, a very devout Christian, was blown away that these little kids climbing everything, what only Israeli kids could imagine doing, are speaking the original language of the Bible. So here we see two forms of eternity, the Egyptian eternity of death and the Jewish eternity of life. So this is the message of Eliyahu Navi. And this is the guidance of the connecting of the generations. Okay, so this is the first teaching I wanted to share with you today. In fact, the truth is, I'd want to vary, but this chapter, the entire chapter, is really part of that dialogue with Malachi. But we'll continue to the next example about. From Tanit, and here we're blessed with many, of course, many women here today. And here, this is something about the role of women in the Avodat Hashem. Many are familiar with the story that on Tu B'Av, the woman of Jerusalem would go to the vineyards and dance. In fact, in Israel, it's called Tu B'Av is called Yom Ahava. It's like kind of an Israeli Valentine's Day, and because the Mishnah does mention that the women were single and made some good suggestions to the single men. But I think this dance, first of all, has a lot, as important as that is, there are other dimensions to it. And in fact, something which, again, we won't have time to get into today, the primary dance was not on Tu B'Av, but was on Yom Kippurim. And not only that, if I begin the Mishnah, Mishnah Chet, Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Lo haya yimim tovim l'Yisrael k'chamishasar u'k'yom ha-kippurim, shebehen benot Yishulayim yotzot. This is not just something that happened Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is considered to be ha-yamim tovim l'Yisrael, is because of this, the dance of the Banot Yerushalayim. So, you know, we would think that the Kohen Gadol entering Kodesh Kodeshim would be the number one celebrity on Yom Kippur. But the Mishnah is saying what captures Yom Kippur, Yamim Tovim LiYisrael, is the dance of Banot Yerushalayim. So I'd like to try to, through the Mishnah, to uncover what was this dance all about. Why is this what captures the essence of Yom Kippurim? So, and again, it's always important to look at every detail and also to think about the Mishnah as a whole to answer this. So the woman would be dressed Yotzot Bekli Lavan Shulim. They would They would borrow the clothing, so it shouldn't be a competition who has the nicest dress. But they all had to have white dresses. And furthermore, Kol Kelim Tunim Tfila. All the Kelim, Kelim in the Mishnah is also the clothing, they would have to be Tovel in a mikvah, all of the clothing that they would wear. So if I put this together, it's Yom Kippur, something that captures Yom Kippur. The woman has to wear white, and they are tovel in a mikvah, all the clothing that they are wearing. If I put this together, what is this telling us? Please. Lovely. So I think usually in Yomah we know the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, he enters Lifnai v'Lifnim. He goes through a whole process of Tfilah, of being Tovel. And then he wears his white clothes in entering the Kodesh Kodashim. To see women wearing white clothing and also being Tovel them, the Mishnah Chagiga says that on Chagim, Kol HaKelim Tum Tfilah, they have to be Tovel all the Kelim, is saying that we have, there is the Kohen Gadol representing us in Kodesh Kodashim. And here we have the Banot Yerushalayim paralleling the Kohen Gadol in this dance as some sort of a parallel. So I think this is the approach that we'll have to develop that could uncover the meaning of this dance. So let me read to the end of the Mishnah, and that will give us the ingredients to complete the understanding of this sacred dance. The Mishnah continues. Uma yomrot b'chor na sane nechor e mata borelacha al titen enecha benoi ten enecha mishpacha sheker achen veva yofi ishaya kashen hitetalel v'amer la tenula mipriyadeh v'alua b'sharim maseha. It begins by them turning to men in marriage proposals. But the continuation is, V'chein hu omer, Sene rena banot tzion, V'malka shlomo, Batara shatra lo imo, V'yom chatunato, V'yom simchat libo. V'yom chatunato, Zumatan Torah. V'yom simchat libo, Ze binyan beit migdash. It continues talking about weddings, but now the wedding is not the human wedding of an ish v'isha. We're talking about the wedding and a love story in the context of Shir Hashirim. And this, I believe, could answer why the Mishnah is talking about Banot Yerushalayim. The primary understanding of Shir Hashirim, which is Kodesh Kodashim, is a love song between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who are depicted as Ish V'Isha. And this is the way it's been used in the Pasuk, using the Pasuk talking about the love story in the context of those meaning points between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether the Bet HaMikdash or Matan Torah, which was considered to be as a wedding between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why the Banot Yerushalayim? Because in Shir HaShirim, the women are the figure of the woman are depicted as Benot Yerushalayim. Benot Yerushalayim appears a number of times in Shir HaShirim. So if we put this all together, the Kohen Gadol enters Kodesh HaKadoshim. With white clothes after Tvila, the women are representing Shir HaShirim. Rabbi Kiva says, Kol HaKetuvim Kodesh, V'Shir HaShirim Kodesh Kodeshim. Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kodeshim. We could depict this in literature, but here we are depicting, we are actualizing Shir HaShirim by a sacred dance, by women representing, women who are Benot Yerushalayim, actualizing the Shir HaShirim. They too, just like the Kohen Gadol, they represent Am Yisrael. Because Am Yisrael in Shir HaShirim is depicted as a woman. So they depict Am Yisrael with the, they're in the white, in the tovel, and do this sacred dance to achieve Kodesh Kodashim. Now, in fact, the turning to the man is not something on the side, but often we know that the human and the divine parallel each other. The same Rabbi Akiva that says Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kodashim is Rabbi Akiva that says Ish Visha Zachu Shechina B'neihem. We find the sacred in our relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We find the sacred in the Kesher between Ish V'Isha, and here these two are forged together in this dance Lifnei Hashem of the Benot Yerushalayim, and in the building connection also of Ish V'Isha. There's one more dimension to this that I'll add, is that this Mishnah is the closing Mishnah of Masechet Tanit. Previously, in Mishnah Vav, it tells us about the morning. Mishnah Vav tells us, Chamisha Dvorim Iru et Avotenu B'Shevasa B'Tamuz V'Chamisha B'Tisha B'Av. B'Shevasa B'Tamuz Nishtabru Aluchot, the breaking of the Luchot, and we know that on Tisha B'Av is the Chorban Beit HaMikdash. Now this last Mishnah is the Tikkun, because Tanit ends on a positive note. If the Luchot were broken on Shevasa B'Tamuz and the Mikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, Yom Kippur is the is Yom Chatunah Zematan Torah, and in fact, Yom Kippur is the day that we got the Sefkin Luchot. Ubiyom Simchat Libo is the Binyan Beit HaMikdash, and Yom Kippur is the day that we repurify the Mikdash. So the dance on Tu B'Av is taking place on a day that we are rectifying the Churban. And maybe I will end this by pointing out that on Shevasa B'Tamuz, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, he sees Am Yisrael sinning with the Chet HaEgel. And it says not only what he sees is the Am dancing in front of the Egel. So here we have a dance for Avodah Zarah on Shevasa B'Tamuz, and the Tikkun is a dance on Yom HaKippurim, Urekadetem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. And in that dance, it says, Va'am Echel Letzachek. Letzachek is a euphemism for Giloy Arayot. And here, in this sacred dance, Lefnei Hashem, the woman turned to the men and talk about couplehood coming from Isha Yirat Hashem. So here, Yom Kippur is the Tikkun of Tisha B'Av, the Tikkun of Shivasar B'Tamuz. So here again, we have another Mishnah, and it's short, but there's so much more than meets the eye, and yet again, it's dialoguing with all these stories, but all these stories in the background. I'll choose between the last two. Maybe to give another vantage point, I'll quickly do the third, and at the latest 10:15, we will finish. In the third Mishnah is a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, a very famous Mishnah. That Mefikach Nivra Adam Ichidi. Just simply very pertinent to our parsha about Briat Adam. Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu choose to create one person at the beginning of the world? The Mishnah gives four answers to this question. Each one is fundamental. The first, Lamdecha Shekol Amabed Nefesh Achat Mi'Israel. Malala Kavetur Kilu Ibed Olam Malay. Velakol Amakayem Nefesh Achat Mi'Israel. Malala Kavetur Kilu Kiyem Olam And I'll mention in manuscripts, it doesn't say Yisrael, which would make more sense because we're talking about the creation of Adam Rishon and the story of, and the broader context of the Mishnah is how severe the murder of Hevel by Cain was. So clearly it's talking about the universal point. So in all manuscripts, it does not say the word Yisrael. Saying to save a life is saving a world. Destroying a life is destroying a world. Interesting, I'll mention this is one of the times that the Quran quotes the Mishnah. In, I spoke that also with Rabbi Ganak. In the fifth surah of the Quran, it says that it tells the story of Cain and Hevel, like the Mishnah, and says, Lefikach, and therefore I said to a book to Bnei Yisrael, whoever saves a life saves the world, whoever destroys a life destroys the world. Now the second reason in the Mishnah is Mitnei Shalom Abriot. There should be peace among us. Shelo Yomar Adam Lachabero Abba Gadol Ma'avicha. Our common humanity. We can't against any racist approach. We all have a common ancestor. Humanity. We are all brethren. Three, shelo yaminim omrim harbe rishayot b'shamayim. And that the minim should say that there are many gods in heaven. If humanity began with one person, so too, the divine God must be one. Because in the ancient world, different nations believed that every nation has their God. By beginning with one person, it's about our common humanity, but also about our common divinity. And finally, like ulagid gedulato shel kadosh baruch hu, a way to express the greatness of the Rabbono shel olam, shadam tovea kama matbeot b'chotem echad, v'kulam domim zeh lezeh, u'melech malchei ha'melachim hakadosh baruch hu, tava kol adam b'chotmo shel adam rishon, ve'ein echad mehem domeh lechavero. After the Mishnah talks about our common humanity, the Mishnah teaches about how we are each unique. We are the greatness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We all began with one person, but from that one person, we are all different. There is nobody like me, and there is nobody like you. And here, the Mishnah finds yet another way to give the value of each of us by saying, the cynics will say that the graveyards are filled with people who say we have no replacement. The Mishnah says, no one has a replacement because we are all unique. Okay, so here in this one Mishnah connected to our Parsha, four fundamental principles about the essence of what is a Adam. So I'll close. Our last example will be from the Mishnah in Tamid, and which tells the story of the bringing of the Korban Tamid in the Beit HaMikdash. Mishu rotzeh l'trum et ha-mizbeach, if somebody wants to do trumat ha-deshen, which is gathering the ashes, and kind of seems like a fancy garbage disposal. Mashkim betovel ad shelo yevamunah. He has to be ready. He has to wake up early, go to the mikvah, to be ready to be the person that volunteer early in the morning who's going to remove the ashes from the mizbeach. Now, The Mishnah will tell us when this official comes, but there's a Shakespeare has a play, Much Ado About Nothing. We'll see the Mishnah makes a lot of effort to tell us something very simple. When is it that the Memunah will show up? Lo kolitim shavot. Not all the times are the same. Okay, we're all filled with drama. When's he going to come? Not all times are the same. So when will he come? Pamim shuba mikriyat gever. Sometimes he comes around kriyat gever, which is when the rooster crows. O samuchlo, make or close by minafanav o manacharav. Wait a second. You make this big ado about when the mamun is going to come. You know, he comes around kriyat gever, right? To say that when he's going to come, not all the times are the same. Sometimes he'll come at kriyat gever. Sometimes a little bit before. Sometimes a little bit after. You use a lot of words to say something very simple. Why are you creating this whole much ado about nothing? But I think the key is in the next phrase, which says, Hamunaba, the Mumunah, the appointed official who opens the Mikdash comes, V'dofek alehem, he knocks on the door, V'heim patchulo, and they open him. Amar lehem, Mishatavall yavol v'yafis. Now, there's only one time in Tanakh, there's a word in this Mishnah that shows up once in Tanakh and once in the Mishnah. And what is that word? Dofek. What, only once in Tanakh Dofek shows up. In Shir Shirim, very nice. Kol Dodi Dofek. And what does it say? Kol Dodi Dofek Pitchuli. And here in the Mishnah, the Munah is Dofek Vehein Potchim Lo. And in fact, the next Mishnah continues by telling about the Shomrim going around the Mishnah, the Mikdash, seeing that everything is in order. Mishnah Gimel, Natalat Mafteach Vatatach the Pispesh. ונכנס מבית המוקד לזרה, ונחצו אחריו, ושתי אבוקות של אור בידם, ונחלקו לשתי כיתות. We have two groups of the Shomrim going in the Mikdash, אלו הולכים בחסדרה דרך מזרח, ואלו הולכים בחסדרה דרך מערב. Two groups of Shomrim encompass the בית המקדש. היו בודקים והולכים עד שמגיע למקום בית עושי חביתים, Hagilu Elo Ve'elo Amru Shalom Akol Shalom. We tell about the guards checking the Mikdash and all is Shalom. I'll mention that the first Mishnah, which we're not going to read of Tamid, tells about that at the night, the Kohanim would go to sleep at the entrance of the Mikdash in anticipation of the morning, and there would be poshet. They would take off their ketonet and go to sleep. If we put this all together, it really brings us back to Shir Shirim. Ani Yashena Balibi Er. Talking about sleep, the heart is awake. Kol Dodi Dofek Pitchuli. And then comes the knock. But unfortunately, in Shir Shirim, she moves too slowly. Pashatet Yet Ketonati. Echachal Bashena. She dilly-dallies. She took off her ketonet. Rachatzit raglai echachat alafneim. I'll get my feet dirty. So she dilly-dallies until it's too late. She's missed her opportunity. He's no longer there. And it depicts, Dodi shalach yado min achor ma'ay hamu alav. Kam tani leftoach ledodi. She gets up, but it's too late. And ultimately, the end of the Psukimir, she goes out to look for him. Matzaunia Shamrim asovavim beir. The Shamrim who are mistovei, making the rounds in the city, find her. Hikuuni patzauni. But she looks suspicious and they beat her. The Mishnah is a response.
I found a few stories with
a In contrast to Shir HaShirim, that terrible missed opportunity, Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kodashim, and now we get to the Beit HaMikdash, which has Kodesh Kodashim. The Mikdash that the Medrash says that Shlomo HaMelech wrote Shir HaShirim on the day of the dedication of the Beit HaMikdash. And here we see the contrast. The Kohanim, like the woman there, they're poshet, they're begadim. Mishnah Aleph tells us. Mishnah Aleph also tells us they go to the mikvah to be rochets. But here, when the knock comes, kol dodi dofet pitcholi, they're ready. They seize the opportunity. The mikdash is open. And then the shomrim come and all is shalom. So tamid again, it doesn't quote Shir HaShirim anywhere. Someone could read Masechet Teva and say, there are no psukim here. But a close reading, looking behind the scenes, can give us this extra dimension of what's happening in the Mishnah and see this major story underlying it, the drama of Shir HaShirim being responded to and ultimately fulfilled in the context of the Mishnah. So since there's a drop left, maybe I'll share one more very moving story about it began with the Vira Manuelo, and a story which that Limud Mishnah, why that was so meaningful, and seeing not merely as a coincidence, because of another story, which is one of the stories sometimes you hear about on the internet, and you say, was it really that way, or was... But this is a story, I know all the people and all the facts directly, that a few months after the war, it came what would have been the Devere's birthday, and Dalia, the mother, who I've since got to know very well, was very broken. And to cheer her up, the girls decided to take her to a concert, Meir Banai, and they're going to the concert, and behind them, there's a family with a small child and a baby, and the small child comes and is playing a little bit with Dalia, and the parents are concerned, maybe it bothers her. So they say to the small child, come back to Abba, to Ima, and to Devere. And then Dalia looks and sees there's a baby a few months old, apparently who's called Devere. So she asks the woman, excuse me, sorry I'm asking, but why did you choose to call your child Devere? Or maybe first she asks, when was he born? And she realizes the baby was born right after the war. And then she asks her, why did he choose to call your child Devere? And the woman says, her name is Shiri, I've met her also. She said, it was a very difficult pregnancy. I was at the very end. And the doctor said that they don't think the baby's going to make it. And then I saw on television this very moving story about this soldier who had fallen. And I said, if the baby is healthy and comes out okay, I'm going to give him the name of Devere. And Dalia says, I am Devere's mother. And Shiri didn't believe it. She had to take out her identity card to prove that indeed she is the mother of Devere. And since then, at the memorials that I've gone to several of them, Shiri comes with little Devere, and the text message she sent her after that is, God doesn't randomly have people meet. So feeling that as difficult and painful things are, there's something larger which is guiding the events of our lives in that story, or the fact that the last limud was of from Eliyahu Navi, this is certainly something which has given a lot of comfort to the family. In fact, in memory of Devere, for several years, every Shabbat Mevarchim, this was Shabbat Mevarchim, the community in Givat Zev would study a chapter of Nishmat HaMishnah, and every time the person teaching it would have to connect it to something about the Devere's personality, and they managed the entire book to connect. It took quite a number of years, and I was privileged to be with them, and also to connect the last chapter, which dealt with Mishnayot Tamid, to finishing that limud. So I begin every shiur with simcha, but as Aviva mentioned earlier, to try to create the right balance in life as we know is not, simcha is wonderful, but there are other dimensions to life, So I always end with Yirah. Same with that Chag Sukkot, Zman Simchatenu, we read Sefer Kohelet that ends with the Yirah. And I'll mention afterwards, if anyone's interested, I have copies of the book, and I'm, so you're welcome there in the back over there. Sof Davar, Hakol Nishma, Et Ha'Elohim Yirah, Ve'et Mitzvotav Shmor, Ki Zeh Kol Adam. Shavua Tov. Okay, and any questions, responses, people, first of all, as like in the army, it's always Tom Tekis. Anyone wants, free to go, but I'm here and happy. Any responses or questions? And yes, since you entered it, so you better start with Elliot. You're welcome to ask a question yourself. Okay, and if not, please, yes, what's your name?
On your very creative second Mishnah of the sacred dance. I'm curious if you have any insight into why the women were to veloth the clothing and not themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It was truly going to be a replica of the Kohen Gadol's avoda in Beit HaMikdash.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't they be to veloth themselves as opposed to just clothing?
Right. Okay, so that, well, that's a good question that I haven't thought of before. The clothing certainly should be, because as we mentioned in Chagigah, it says before the Chag, kol hakelim tulum tefillah. So the fact that the kelim, anything used for the kodesh to be tovel, that certainly would be something that they would be tovel. Maybe as a suggestion, just thinking about, in the times of the Beit HaMikdash, the woman always would be tovel, because then in the world of tumah v'tara, so that there'd be a necessity for to being tovel, even unmarried women always being tovel. So that would be the obvious that would be tovel. So the chidush would be that even the bagadim would be need tefillah. It's a possible suggestion. Please. What's your name again? No, sorry.
When you are making these type of interpretations, in terms of just the approach, do you ever wonder if it's too much of a stretch or it needs to be root? Like, when do you say, maybe it's a little too far-fetched? When do
right.
you pull back?
Right, that's a tough call. I mentioned large sections were actually in my doctorate in Hebrew University. And there, as dry, there's a movie, Footnote, which, if it sounds good, it's probably wrong. So that was the assumption of most of my advisors. So I had to go through, I was grilled about a lot of these things. I think it's always important to present things, what are more solid, which are less. But some of them, it's overwhelming. For example, in Kedushin, if it was just Heshev Lev Avot, okay, Avot Banim, that's nice. But you see, wait a second, it's not just that, it's the continuation. Pen Avot Arif Cherem. You feel you're hitting on something. If I would add in that chapter, for example, there are 10 kinyanim, and then afterwards 10 rules of mitzvot, you say also, you feel things start building on each other. In Shir HaShirim, I gave one point of contact, kol dodi dofek dafkuli. As I pointed out, it's not just a word, it's the only time in Tanakh and the only time in Mishnah. But in fact, if you make it to the book, you'll see that it's throughout Tamid that they use the Shir HaShirim imagery. So I think it's usually, if it's one general word, it could be at most a suggestion. But if it's a number of points of contact, especially with unique words, I think it's more significant. Okay. So I'm happy to linger and chat and whatnot. And well, I'm so good to see everybody.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, why? Okay. Thanks again, Aviva, for this wonderful Shabbat.